Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Getting promoted is one of the most exciting events in a career. Yet many are placed in the role without any knowledge of what it takes to be a leader, let alone a great leader. You're expected to sink or swim, and most companies don't even provide any support or leadership training either before or after the promotion. You want to be an excellent leader for your team, but where can you find the basic tools and strategies that you need? Well, author Noel Massey, former vice president of operations for UPS, has walked in your shoes, and he knows what it takes to lead with both wisdom and confidence. Congrats, you've been promoted, is the trusty must-have guide for every new leader. It's like a mentor on your bookshelf. Noel began working for UPS part-time during college, rose through the ranks to become vice president for UPS's U.S. delivery operations. Before his retirement in 2019, he oversaw 200,000 employees who were led by 12,000 supervisors. Now, in this role, Noel supported and guided the package delivery and logistics services in the United States. He continues to mentor young leaders and supervisors, also consulting with modern businesses and pursuing his passion as an advocate for early childhood education programs. Noel Massey, executive coach, leadership consultant, and author of Congrats, You've Been Promoted, An Essential Guide for Helping New Leaders and Their Team Succeed, is our guest on This Week in America. Noel, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. Thanks for that gracious introduction. And I really look forward to being on your show. It's a great show. It's a well-known audience that I think can benefit from some of our conversation today. So I look forward to it, Rick, and thank you.
And thank you for the kind words. And in the bio, I just touched the surface. There's so much more that we'll talk about during the course of the program. What you've given back to the community and continue to give back to the community, as well as the business world. Let's talk for the inspiration about Congrats, You've Been Promoted. Why did you decide to write this book?
There were a number of critical events that happened that led me to the decision to write the book, Congrats, You've Been Promoted. And I'd say number one was a desire to help young people being promoted at high rates and high levels over the last decade or so, due to what we know is the baby boomer exit from the workplace, right? The tsunami of baby boomers moving on to the next phase of their lives. So that opened the door for Gen Z, millennials, Gen Alpha to take roles in leadership. And that was happening at UPS in a great way, as well as in other organizations where I have relationships with a number of other presidents and general managers. When we would get together, we would always talk about that event, which was occurring, right? The transition of new leadership in and experience out. And so that being said, that was one event, that one reason. And then the second reason was in my own world of UPS, as we were promoting so many people, the amount of training that we were able to provide to the front line couldn't keep up with the demand, period. And so you have derailment. And you don't promote your best people to lose them, right? And the fact of the matter is, those first 3 years in leadership are the toughest and most challenging. And being able to navigate them is critical. To long-term success. And so I wrote the book to support the developing needs for young leaders coming in to the environment. That drove my decision to write the book.
Let's talk about what you went through. I mentioned you're 19, a college student, you're working for UPS, you're loading packages. 3 years later, 22 years old, you're a supervisor. What was that like? Did you go through that, congratulations, boy, this is great, and then that sudden realization, okay, now what? What do I do at this point? What was it like for you?
Oh, that's 100%, yeah, sure. That's 100% the way it went for me. It's 100% the way it goes today,
yes.
And it'll be 100% the way it goes 20 years from now. That doesn't change. Generally, what happens is you're the best employee, you're doing a great job, you're unloading trucks, or you're driving a forklift, or you're stocking shelves, or, you know, the one thing that, and I want to take a moment just to say this in the short time we have together, is that there's one congruent thing in all companies, whether it's a donut shop or a Fortune 50 company or a law firm or a hospital Rick, and that is there's always a leader. There's always a leader. The one profession that's universal throughout all aspects of life is someone is leading. Someone is leading. And the way that we choose leaders is generally based on observation of their performance. So that's what happens. It's not based on an observation of their leadership skills. It's based on an observation of some skill they're demonstrating that you hired them for, whether it's a construction site and, as I said, a donut shop. And then what happens is you need someone to lead it. And naturally, you pick the best worker. You go, hey, I'm going to pick the best worker. They're reliable. You know, they're positive. They're a go-getter, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to make them the leader. So congrats, you've been promoted. And then what happens, and this is the most consistent part, is the employees they were working with, they're now leading. And they haven't been taught how to make that transition. And so they're 27, 28, and they have an employee 50, 60, and they've been working with this person. And now they have to give instruction to them. And they say, hey, Larry, I'd like you to drive forklift number 12. And Larry goes, I'm not driving forklift number 12. No, get at the Walter. And in that moment, their leadership abilities are challenged. They don't know what to do. And in my book, Congrats, You've Been Promoted, I address leadership in the trenches. There's no fluff. There's no frills. What do you do in that moment? How do you handle that moment to be successful in a win-win narrative that doesn't become contentious? Because there's a way to do that.
Yes.
And so as a young person, when I got promoted, that was me. I was in that moment. I was 19. There was a 50-year-old tractor-trailer driver who took me on in front of my 9 employees, and that was a moment of truth. So I relate to the moments I talk about in the book because I lived them.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the biggest mindset shift required for new managers. Talk about that. What do you need, the mindset, the proper frame of mind, when you go in that first day as a manager? What's the mindset like? And I think maybe you talked about that, the fact you're now supervising these people. You were buddies, maybe going for a beer after work with these guys and gals,
right.
And now you're leading them. What's the biggest mindset change?
Well, number one is that you were measured on what you did. Now, when you say, when there's an opening to be in leadership, okay, and you put your hand up, and you go, pick me, right? And then you get picked. You're saying, I'm willing to be evaluated based on how I can motivate other people to do work. That's the biggest mindset shift. Yesterday, it was about you doing your job. How good could you fish? Tomorrow, you're saying, I can teach these 9 people to fish as well as me, right? That's a very different thing. You know, and most of the time, and I'll be candid, 99% of the time, the business owner making the promotion and the person taking the promotion, they don't understand that paradigm. That's exactly what's going on. You're saying, I can get work done through other people as well as I did work myself. And that mindset shift doesn't happen. That's not what goes on. It needs to be clear and articulated. And as a matter of fact, if I was promoting you, Rick, I'd say, Rick, congrats, you've been promoted. Now you recognize, Rick, you did a great job. Okay, but now a great job, Rick, is you getting those 9 people to do the kind of work you did. So that's about developing them. It's about engaging with it. So how do you even know how to do that? That's the biggest mindset shift.
The book is Congrats, You've Been Promoted. Our guest on the program is Noel Massey. His website is noelmassey.com. Information there on the book, information on the seminars, the webinars that Noel does. It's a lot of information at the website, and we'll give you that throughout the program. And we've got that on our website. You can link on directly to Noel's website, order the books, get information there as well. You say right in the beginning, this seems so basic, but it's so important, success is going to be determined by one thing, you. And when you think about it, you're sort of out there on an island, aren't you, when you start this? If you look around for help, when you go through, you're going to assign somebody for a forklift they don't want. There's nobody standing beside you that's going to come to the rescue. It's up to you to solve that problem, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And when I say success comes down to one thing, you, what I'm saying to the young person, I say this in the seminars when I teach them, and I just did this with 30 attorneys in the city of Chicago for the Inspector General. Did a seminar for her 32 lead attorneys, actually. And when talking to them, I'm saying to them, success comes down to one thing. How much do you care about the skills needed to be successful as a leader? Because there are skills. It's not rocket science, but there is a science. And if you're not investing in the science of leadership, why would you be good at that? Why does that even make sense? And if I said, hey, Rick, what are you looking to do in the future in terms of something you love? And you say, I'm going to go skydiving, Noel. And I said, okay, so Rick, you're going to get an instructor, or, you know, where are you going to do that? You go, oh, no, I'm just going to go get a parachute, hire a plane, and jump out of it. Well, you wouldn't do that, right? You understand there's a skill needed to do that. And I would submit, Rick, that jumping out of an airplane with a parachute and being taught to do it, number one, is a lot more difficult than leading hundreds of people or even dozens of people or even a dozen people. It's much more simple to do that than to lead people. So why wouldn't you spend time learning the skills necessary to do that? And most people do not.
You talk a lot in the book about mentorship and how important that was for you. And sometimes mentorship is something we throw around, but it's very valuable if it's done correctly, isn't it?
Sure. It's really an important thing, you know. And what's interesting about mentorship is not many people will not understand the importance of it. You know, if you start talking to anyone about mentorship, they'll have examples in their lives, actually, where it helped them and it worked, whether it was sports or some hobby, bowling, golf, whatever, right? They had someone they could ask questions, talk to, get advice from, et cetera, because it matters. And mentorship and leadership is really important. But here's the thing. Who you get as a mentor should be who you choose and who you admire. And the way that I try to get that understood by young people is I ask them, I'll say, close your eyes. They close their eyes. I say, think of the person who has invested in you the most in your life and who you admire the most. And then everyone has that person. They'll close their eyes and say, okay, now, in your workplace, who is that person that you admire? Go ask them to have a cup of coffee. It might be a peer, might be a boss. It doesn't matter. It might be someone in a different department. The point is sounding boards are important. You need to create the opportunity for yourself to have a sounding board and go pursue it. And what's important about a mentor, finally, is that they are good at something you want to be good at, not whether they look like you, whether it's you're a male and it could be a female or female with the point is if I want to learn how to fish, I'm going to the person who's the best at it. Doesn't matter where they're from, who they are. It just matters to me that they're great at this, right? And they can mentor me. So choosing a mentor matters. And choose a mentor who's great at what you want to be great at, whether it's listening, speaking, communicating, it doesn't matter. But mentorship's important, and finding mentors is really critical.
You talk a lot about integrity. In fact, you call it your crown jewel, and you discuss using integrity, a core value that leaders must drive with intention. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah, Warren Buffett said it as well as I've heard anyone say it when he goes, when I hire people, I look for three things: enthusiasm, energy, and integrity. If they don't have the last one, don't even bother with the first two. Integrity is the foundation of all leadership principles. And I talk about that in the book that way. And I say, if you can't demonstrate intentionally to your people that you intend to lead with integrity, then everything else is irrelevant. Because if your people don't believe you have integrity, trust won't follow. Hard work won't follow. Confidence won't follow. So I talk about it that way. And the most important thing I say about integrity, well, there's a number of things I say about it, but the most important thing I say about it is be intentional, right? And what I mean by that is, as the leader, and you meet your group, it might be 9 or 10 people, you know, hey, nice to meet you. I'm looking forward to be your leader. You know, the things that are important to me as a leader is that everyone keeps their word, and integrity is a part of that, and you can expect that from me, is that if it's not right, we're not doing it. If it's not appropriate, we're not doing it. If there's any question, there's no question, okay? Integrity is the most important value we all need to have with each other, and you need to have to say it intentionally. You can't imply just because you have integrity, you think that your people are going to say, well, that's implying we should have integrity. No, you can't imply integrity. It needs to be vocalized. It needs to be done in a natural way, in all the words you articulate on a regular basis. Same thing with ethics. And that's how you get people to believe in you, number one, and to follow you, number two.
Our guest on the program is Noel Massey. Congrats, you've been promoted, is his book. His website is noelmassey.com. Order the book there. More information on Noel there, including seminars, webinars, personal appearances, that type of thing, all available at the website. Book, of course, available wherever books are sold, and a link to Noel's website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned that briefly. I just want to talk about that again for a second. Ethics. How important is that to establish ethics? You have that sort of going hand in hand with integrity. Really, ethics is another key, aren't they?
Well, you know, the ethics is such a complicated topic. It's taught in business schools, really, actually, over the last 20 years, it's become a requirement because of things that happened in the 80s and, you know, with Exxon and not Exxon, but
Enron. Yeah, Enron. You know, that was, yes, that comes to mind.
Enron and Sarbanes-Oxley showed up as a result of that. And then you had other incidents with opioids. So the point is that just because something's legal doesn't make it ethical. And I talk about that in the book. You know, at the end of the day, ethical behavior is honorable conduct towards others, simply stated. And that was what the founder of UPS coined as his perspective on ethics. And of course, now it's been adopted by the leaders in the organization, which I was one of. It's simple. Ethical behavior is honorable conduct towards others. And if it's dishonorable, it's unethical. And the difference between integrity and ethics is that you can lack integrity by yourself, right? You can cheat on an expense report in isolation. You can do things that lack integrity on your tax return in isolation. When it's unethical, you have involved other people. That's the difference. That's the real key difference, is that you've involved other people. And the fact of the matter is that, again, when you talk about ethical actions, a team of employees, an organization needs to know that their leaders are ethical people, that if it's not right, they're not doing it. They will be honorable under all circumstances with the individuals who they have, their careers in their hands, their lives in their hands. I mean, all of these really important aspects of human existence in their hands. And so ethical behavior is an absolute must for a leader to be successful leading a team of people. If that group of people, for any reason, thinks that the leader they have is unethical, why would that group of people do great things and great work for that person? They just wouldn't.
You have a leadership approach that's called the BEST principle, B-E-S-T. You talk about that a lot in the book. Describe it for us, and why is that important for a leader?
Well, in the book, there's a number of skills I talk about in part two of the book, and you just hit on one of them. And, you know, the important thing I want to make sure people understand is part one of the book is about the importance of values, right? Integrity, ethics, fairness, trust, those kind of things. Part two of the book gets into the weeds of, okay, now that's great, but how? How do I do this? How do I train a new employee? When someone's coming at me hot and they're angry, how do I handle that? Okay, what do I do daily when I address my team as a professional, right? I'm giving a daily message where I'm talking about today's events and importance, okay? Those skills are in the book, part two, and there's exercises in the book for the person to practice. But the BEST principle is a core foundational concept for all of those. And what I mean by that is it's a frame. So think about a picture. You have a frame. The BEST principle is the frame. Inside of the BEST principle is the 4x5 method. Inside of the BEST principle is the 7 steps of effective training. Inside of the BEST principle are daily messaging with your team. Because here's what the BEST principle stands for, to land the plane on this. The B stands for be specific, right? When communicating, training, giving an assessment, be specific. Why are we here? What's the intention, right? Expect the best. That's the E. So articulate as a leader that you expect the best outcome, that you have confidence in the person, in their desires, in their abilities. Expect the best. Verbalize it to the person. Stick to the objective. We're here to teach you how to drive a forklift. Stick to the objective. We're going to do that for the next 2 hours right? You can't let the discussion deviate into any other arena, right? We're here to do an assessment, right. Whatever it is, right? Stick to the objective. Get from A to Z and focus the person and yourself on the objective. Test commitment. Follow up and make sure that what was taught was learned. What was discussed was understood. Test commitment. So the best principle, BEST, is a really powerful way for a new leader in interaction to say, okay, it's in my head, BEST, be specific. We're here to learn how to drive a forklift. Expect the best. I know you're going to do great, Rick. You really want this. So I have all the confidence in you that you're going to apply yourself 100%. That's the E. And then test commitment. Hey, Rick, now you're going to train me on how to drive a forklift to make sure you've learned it. And that's the T, test commitment. So that helps the new leader stay focused and professional at all times.
You also talk about the 4x5 method. Explain that as well.
So the 4x5 method goes to the heart of what happens daily in the life of leadership, where people are coming at you with a million things and spontaneous things happen. It gives you a frame. It says, people are going to be influenced by four different perspectives based on a moment, based on a circumstance, right? Depends on what it is. But the bottom line is there's four perspectives in the conversation. There's the supervisor's perspective, of course. There's the employee's perspective, of course. There's the company's perspective. And then there's the customer's perspective, right? And perspective means we have a problem. Something happened. Something occurred. Which perspective will influence the best outcome of solution solving, right? And most of the time it's the employees, because people support their perspective the most. That just makes sense. You have a perspective. Rick supports his perspective more than any others. So if I come to Rick with an issue and I relate it to Rick through his perspective, he's more likely to view it in a way where he will solve the problem in his own head on his own. Intensity talks about how I'm going to talk to Rick about the issue. Intensity one is what it is, like the gears in the car, the lowest gear. Hey, Rick, you got a moment? I'd like to talk to you for a second about the customer on Market Street, okay? Intensity two, we talked about the customer on Market Street already. Something came up again. Hey, Rick, you got a moment? I want to talk to you about the customer on Market Street. And you could feel that intensity, without my voice being the reason it became important, me amplifying my voice, because that's not how you want to do that, that I went up from I need to talk to you, I'd like to talk to you for a minute, excuse me, to, hey, Rick, I want to talk to you for a minute. So in the book, I talk about how to communicate the importance of something through the first opening salvo. We must. That's how you tell people something's important, through the choice of words, not through the application of voice. It's never appropriate to be yelling at your people when there's a problem. And so an example of that would be, hey, Rick, I'd like to talk to you about the customer on Market Street. You said that you'd get there at noon, and Doug, the owner, said you didn't get there till 4, and he would like you to we have an agreement to get there at 1. Can you live up to that agreement? And you go, yes. So then the next day comes and you don't get there at 1, you get there at 4 again. So now went from, hey, Rick, I'd like to talk to you about the customer on Market Street. Hey, Rick, I need to talk to you about the customer on Market Street. Remember yesterday when we had the discussion about the time that we had an agreement, and you go, yeah, but no, something came up, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right. So, and then I'd ask you, and I'll do this live. I go, hey, Rick, do you ever use Uber for any reason at all? And this is real now. I'm asking you personally. Rick, do you ever use Uber at all?
No.
Well, you use any gig services, DoorDash, Grubhub, whatever, taxi? You ever call a taxi, any of that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so if you called a taxi and they were supposed to get you at 1, but they didn't show up till 4, what would you do about that?
I'd be a little upset.
Yeah, right. So then let's say it happened again. What would you do?
I'd be very upset and probably stop using Uber driver.
Right. You just became Doug, who's your customer. So what do you think Doug's feeling today, Rick?
He's probably upset and looking for some other way to get his delivery done on time.
Yeah, some way that's not you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so can we get Doug's problem corrected today, at the end of the day, to the agreement that we gave Doug, Rick? What do you think?
I'm going to get there before one.
Okay, so can you give me your word on that?
Yes.
No, give me your word, Rick. Say it. Say
I will be there. I will take care of the customer on Market Street, and I'll be there by 1 o'clock with a smile on my face.
Okay, well, that's great. But, you know, here's what's important in this moment, Rick. Okay, you have my word, Rick, that I'll always support you. I want your word, with you using the word to me, that you'll get there on time. Can you tell me that?
You have my word that I'll be there by 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Rick. So in the book, I talk about how to do that exchange, right? Because here's what people don't break, Rick. They don't break their word. People break promises. They break commitments. You know, they do all kinds of things. But let me tell you what I found in my life is that people rarely, if ever, break their word. I mean, it's the amount of people willing to break their word is so infinitesimal, it's basically negligible. Right. And so I talked to the new leader about giving their word is number one before extracting the word. Right. And when you do that, and what I found is you are able to communicate with a person, the integrity, the ethics, all of those things in that moment by saying, you have my word. I'm looking for your word. OK, so that's what that best principle 4x5 method. That's how they go together. Right. But that's what the 4x5 method is intended to do, along with the use of metaphors, which I talk about in the book.
You got all that accomplished without raising your voice. So that also proves that you can do that, that you could be persuasive by what you're saying, by the words that you're choosing. The book is an excellent read for even somebody who's a manager trying to sharpen up on skills and making sure they really learn management the proper way. As I mentioned, it's like a mentor on the bookshelf. Congrats, you've been promoted. Our guest is Noel Massey. No idea where the time has gone. I'm going to take a few more minutes here and we'll do this again because there's so much more to talk about. You talk in the book about the importance of building trust and respect. That sounds easy, but you just don't say to somebody, I want you to respect me. That's something that's earned. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, you actually have to articulate intentionally all leadership concepts. You know, the way it works is if I don't respect you openly, then I'm disrespecting you.
Yes.
And so trust, you know, is the compilation of my behavior being consistent around listening to you, fairness. I mean, fairness is a really complicated concept because that's what the person thinks. But, you know, I talk about all those things in the book. But the point is that respect is a derivative of all those, right? You know, I respect you when I say, hey, we're in our group, as a member of your team, the leader of your team, mutual respect is important. I expect us all to respect it. We may not all agree because we're not going to all agree. Okay, but here's what's not okay. Disrespect doesn't work. There's no yelling. There's no disregarding. Okay, so that's a consistent term and condition within our group. That's why the foundation of my book, Rick, is the terms and conditions of value-based leadership. That's throughout the entire book. I talk about the terms and conditions of value-based leadership. And I make the reader look at it through the lens of, you know, it's not just refrigerators and refrigerator warranties or app warranties or parking lot agreements that have terms and conditions. People have them. And people have terms and conditions. And when you're the leader and someone's going to work for you, you're checking the box that you will adhere to their terms and conditions. Respect is a primary one. They didn't sell you their dignity. They didn't sell you that. They sold you their time, their minutes, their sweat. They didn't sell you their respect. You have an obligation to respect them. When you disrespect them, you are violating those basic terms and conditions. And so that is how you gain respect, is you articulate the importance of it within the team.
The way he, straightforward manner he talks is the way he writes. This book is so well written. It gets you right to the point. It's very visual. You can see him. You can see yourself in these roles as they're being explained. The book is, congrats, you've been promoted. Out of time, I'll take just a few seconds here at the end, and then we'll talk about this hopefully in another program. An advocate for early childhood education programs. It's not just saying this is important. You're there doing it, working with Chapter 1 U.S. in this, and working in tutoring. Talk about the importance of really building this foundation, because I'm concerned as a country we're sort of forgetting about that, and we keep cutting things back, and you've got a lot of kids that we're cutting out of the educational process. How important is that foundation very early in their lives?
You know, I've been involved with Chapter 1 U.S. now for about a decade, focusing on first and second graders as literacy, from a literacy perspective. And I'll tell you that that's been an experience for me personally. It's been incredibly moving, not because of just what's important and making sure that a second grader can read at the second grade level when they're in the second grade, so that when they get to that pivot year, which is the third grade, and it is, that they can read at the third grade level when they're in the third grade, is because of what I've seen the impact be on the parents, right? On the parents of these kids. Yes. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that not being able to read is the most debilitating thing that can happen to a person, let alone a child. And here's a fact, that when a child cannot read at the third grade level, when they're actually in the third grade, no matter their socioeconomic status, no matter their race, no matter their religion, doesn't matter. If when they get to the third grade and they can't read at the third grade level at eight, the graduation rate, Rick, from high school is below 60%. When they can read at the third grade level, when they're in the third grade, the graduation rate from high school is over 90%. That third grade year is a pivot. And so the organization, Chapter One, with all the research that's been done, and Seth, the guy that founded the organization who lives in Chicago, Seth Weinberg, you know, he is passionate and founded this thing 20 years ago. But the research focusing on first and second graders bore that out, and so it's been a very rewarding experience for me, and what I've seen it do for parents has been amazing.
Did not realize that third grade statistic and why that's really pivotal and how successful the child is going to be. We need to talk more about that. There's so much, and we'll have to do part two for this. Congrats, you've been promoted, is Noel's book. I mentioned the website, noelmassey.com. What all can we find there? I mentioned the seminars and that. This basically is a way to reach out to you. You can get information on the book, and you can even talk with Noel about appearing in, maybe with your organization.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, my assistant is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A-H. And you can reach me through getting Kayla at noelmassey.com. That's easy. You can reach me at noel@noelmassey.com. But on my website, there's a contact form, all kinds of great information. And I did a masterclass that's 9 episodes long that's on the best principle, 4x5 method, integrity, fairness for small business owners that want some way to train their newly promoted leaders. And I actually have a bunch of companies, candidly, that are using the book as their training platform. And the book's only been out since June. So that's been humbling that I've had a number of companies say, this is how we're going to bring our people into the company with this as the entry point.
Well, the time has gone by so quickly, and I'm almost thinking I could drive that forklift you keep talking about. You've got me convinced that I could actually probably do that thing, okay? And I'm ready for the promotion as soon as you're ready to promote me. Noel Massey is our guest on the program. Website, noelmassey.com. Once again, the name of the book, Congrats, You've Been Promoted, An Essential Guide for Helping New Leaders and Their Teams Succeed. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly to Noel. Noel, a pleasure. Looking forward to having you back with you. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rick. I've enjoyed it.
And by the way, I would like to thank King Pages Press. That's Noel's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves, kingpagespress.com. Our guest, Noel Massey, all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.